Welcome back to A Fresh Story, the podcast where we have conversations about brave decisions to start over again. I'm Olivia.
And I'm Jenny. And today we're actually talking to Olivia. She is our Fresh Start Story of the Week.
Hi, sis. How are you?
How you doing? I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm going to be honest. I am a little nervous to share my story.
It's scary to be intimate in that way and vulnerable on the large, massive worldwide web.
It is true. But I would love to, I get a lot of questions about kind of how, and I asked on Instagram the other day for questions. One of the questions was, you know, with your marriage, was it a slow fade, slow fizzle?
How do you know when to leave kind of question?
How do you know when to leave? And what kind of happened? And I will say, I will preface all of this by saying this is my story and the way that I perceived it, the way that I felt it.
Right.
You played a big part in that story, especially kind of in the last couple of days. And, you know,
I played a big part in the story from tops to bottom.
Let's back up, right? Let's do a little history lesson here. So, I met my significant other online on match.com.
Ex-husband, I think is the term. Really,
ex-husband. For. Yeah. That, we actually met, on match.com in 2008 and then we chatted, but then we did not meet up again until 2009. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the universe definitely knew what it was doing. And we dated for about 3 months. We moved in together very quickly.
Mm-hmm. He was very excited about you. He was very excited about you.
And I was very much in love. Mm-hmm. Very, very much in love. Mm-hmm. Talk about manifesting everything you want in your life. I definitely manifested him and it was everything I wanted.
And we've learned since then that we don't manifest people. We manifest the feelings,
right?
Not the people.
Right. Right.
This is an important lesson.
Exactly. So, we got engaged after a year of being together. We had been living together. We got married the next June. And this is where you come into the picture, which is you were the one that married us. And
the wedding officiant.
Yeah. You really talked us through the whole thing and guided us through the whole thing in terms of the wedding and the ceremony.
I'm laughing because I was 23. What did I know?
I was only 26. Yeah. And you know, I will say this, when you meet somebody, when you're 23, 24 years old, you're not fully baked. You're not cooked. And I had been coming off of, you know, I had a boyfriend through college. I dated a lot. I hadn't really taken time to get to know who I was at all. And I don't think you really can when you're in your early 20s. And so
you're
I think
not who you are yet. So you can't know who you are.
No, and you're still a child. You really are still a child. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I think, yes, I went away to college in New Jersey, so it wasn't that far away, but still you're surrounded by people. You're doing things. You know, you don't recognize that you don't take time. And I was, man, the Olivia back then in college was a little bit dramatic and cross out a little bit and add a lot. Yeah, I know. Shocker. You know, so I'm a romantic. I fell hard for people. I mean, I was still pining after my high school boyfriend 10 years later. So, you know, I didn't. He's married now. But and the 16-year-old me did not make good decisions. But, you know, so I think there is an element of just. Yes, go ahead.
I think the problem is the 16-year-old you and the 23-year-old you and the 23-year-old me. We didn't make bad decisions. We just didn't make good decisions. And there's unfortunately, a lot of space between those two things. And it's very hard, I think, often to recognize when you've made a decision over a bad decision. A bad decision feels much more obvious.
Yes. And I will say that I'm somebody that my intuition is my superpower. And I definitely saw red flags and overrode them for many, many relationships that I was in. And, you know, Christine, our therapist, who we will bring on for an episode, you know, she made it very clear that kind of changing the narrative of my story to, you knew what you were doing. You had an agenda, right? Mm-hmm. The agenda was, I wanted children. I wanted to leave my parents' mm-hmm. house. I wanted to get married. I really, really wanted to be a wife. And you know what? I was a really, really good wife. Mm-hmm. And I even remember being 26, right? We coming back from the honeymoon and thinking, like, do wives wear their hair differently? Do they do things differently? Like, I was, just a child,
yeah.
In so many ways. And so my point is that there is an element of, you know, just matching with somebody that you ultimately grow apart from. And, mm-hmm. and when you choose to put yourself first and you grow and get help and mental help for yourself, and the other person doesn't necessarily choose mm-hmm. the same direction, it's really tricky to stay in a committed relationship with that person, whether it's a boyfriend or a partner or even a parent, right? So,
and in a lot of ways, our stories are very different, yours and mine, are mm-hmm. starting over. But the place where they really diverge and where they converge and then diverge is at this point of being so young and meeting somebody. Yeah. And you can't tell me, you can't say what your non-negotiables are at 25, because you don't know what your non-negotiables are at 25. And they change. They can change a lot. And so that's kind of the point at which, like, both of our stories are similar, and we'll talk about that on my episode, but it's interesting.
And I think true for so many women, right? Mm-hmm. You see this across TikTok mm-hmm. and then you throw kids into the mix, right? Mm-hmm. And my children come before anything, and you know, that really changes the dynamic of a marriage. And again, it goes back to, can you choose to work on that and to move together as a couple, mm-hmm. or are you ultimately going to grow apart and do separate things? You know, we definitely had problems in the marriage for many, many years that we both kind of would, you know, skirt around, push under the rug. Mm-hmm. There was this narrative of, like, well, we don't fight, right? We don't fight with each other, and we don't yell at each other. But there was also my soul was slowly dying.
Right.
I was managing everything, raising two kids, running an agency, mm-hmm. Cooking every single meal, doing every single load of laundry, mm-hmm. Cleaning every room in the house, you know, making sure everybody's emotional labor was taken care of, making sure that everybody had what they needed all the time. And that was killing me from the inside out. And so the way that I dealt with that, and probably, you know, you were probably the only person that really saw what was happening. Mm-hmm. You spent a lot of time in our household. Mm-hmm. You felt the vibes in our household, and they were not good vibes. Mm-hmm. They were not good vibes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there were many times that you told me, you know, you got to go to therapy, you got to do this, that. And until I was ready, it's like, yeah. You don't want to open the Pandora's mm-hmm. box. Cause I knew once I started therapy, my entire life would be kind of over. Mm-hmm. I knew.
And it was, how many therapy sessions did your marriage last?
Well, we'll get into that. Yeah.
Okay.
I knew, a couple of years after having my second son that the marriage was not going to last. And I think that we both knew that, and nobody wanted to say that.
We both, do you mean you and your ex-husband or you and me?
All of us, everybody included. No, I don't think you never said anything to me about that. Never.
No, it seemed an impossibility. I don't know. I mean, I think as much as, you know, the way our family is set up and the way that we're set up, and we're working on this, we've worked on this. It's as much as you decided on him, I decided on him. And I thought, this is, you know, my sister is my treasure, and I'm willing to let this person marry her. I was very sure that was the right choice for you too, which is a feeling of guilt that I've had to deal with, of like feeling responsible for, as your little sister, allowing you to marry someone, as if I could ever, I can't even get you to watch a movie. So I can't make you marry someone.
This goes back to another bigger question, which is really, you marry a family, right? And,
or do you,
I mean, right. Right.
Right.
And, divorce affects everybody. Mm-hmm. My divorce was a huge black spot in our life for many, many years. Mm-hmm. And not that I mean, everybody was so, so supportive. And
by black spot, you mean sort of like energy.
Dark. It was just a dark.
It was something that the whole family was putting energy into.
Everybody,
not
was
dark
with
spot,
it.
Like shame. Like that's not what you.
No,
mean.
No. I mean, like it was like a dark energy. It was like right. We were all dealing with it together.
It was the lawyer, thing. It was how's Olivia thing. Doing today, and is she
right.
okay?
How are the kids
she,
doing? Right.
Is she worried? Yeah. Is she scared? Yeah. Did she talk
Does
to
she
her?
Have
or
money?
Did she not talk
right.
to her?
Just all this stuff.
100%. Yeah.
And you know, I think that's something that we're bringing up too with Fresh Starts is like, you know, really like, what does it mean to get divorced for everybody around you and how can they support mm-hmm. you? Mm-hmm. But where was I? I can't remember.
You were saying to you, but a little bit after your second was born. You
right. So I think, you know, and I kind of relegated the idea that like to stick it out, you know, so, you know, we come from a family of divorce, right? Mm-hmm. Our parents are divorced. All of our grandparents are divorced. Mm-hmm. I very much never wanted to get divorced. Mm-hmm. I wanted a family. My dream in life was to raise my children with a devoted partner. Right. And, you know, they often say that like what you don't heal in childhood, you get in your marriage. Yeah. And that's what happened. And so I think, you know, the marriage was teetering for many years. And then, you know, he pursued a lot of wonderful hobbies for him that he was fantastic at and made him really happy. And I was supremely happy for him and proud of him as a wife. Mm-hmm. But it left me with a lot of questions of like, well, what am I going to do? Like, where's my position?
Where do I fit into this? Yeah.
Right. My job isn't just to iron shirts. Right. And so, you know, I tend to, as a classical studies person, think a lot of my life, like kind of as a hero's journey, Joseph Campbell. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that call to action started kind of like tickling in the back of my brain. Mm-hmm. And so I struggled a lot with binge eating. I probably put on 75 pounds, mm-hmm. In a, you know, the course of 10 years, because I was stuffing my feelings down. Mm-hmm. And to be clear, this is not just feelings of my marriage. This was a lot of different things that had happened in my mm-hmm. life. Mm-hmm. And I had, again, the internet, you know, it's a crazy place, but I had connected with Christine, who at the time was just a habit coach. And she was opening up a habit coaching company, and she said, would you be interested in trading some of your beautiful writing for, you know, us you know, helping you with your binge eating and coaching? And I thought, well, this is fantastic. I had no money to spend on therapy at the time. Right. And I was living very much paycheck to paycheck in terms of my own finances, because I paid for a lot of things in our life. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it's sad looking back. I had to dig into money that my grandmother had gave me to pay for preschool because I didn't want to ask for help from my spouse. And, you know, I think that says a lot about kind of the situation that I felt like I was in. And so when I started working with Christine, you know, I had been a freelance writer for many years. I had written pieces published in many different things. And she asked me, does he read your writing? And I thought, no. And she said, well, do you want him to? And I thought, no, because I was afraid that he would say something. And that kind of changed the entire course of my life. And the other question she asked me the first time I met with her, I don't even know if I've told you this, is she said, what's your dream breakfast? She said, what's your dream breakfast? And I said, an egg white omelet with some spinach. And
that's
like,
not,
you know,
your dream breakfast. I
and
know you.
She said, right. And she said, that's what you think you should say, because you think that you're not allowed to want things. Mm-hmm. And
you
know,
like a couple of eggs scrambled, some potatoes, a little bacon, and yeah. some like you do like maybe some peppers and onions.
And
basically
like
the breakfast
waffle.
I get
like,
and,
yeah.
and right a piece of a bagel right. or a piece of bagel
right
yeah.
I mean bagel, cream cheese and lox, like that, I love it, right? But it really was like these questions were questions I'd never, for 10 years, I hadn't looked inside myself. I was just on autopilot, and I was incredibly sleep deprived to the point where I was mentally not okay and having intrusive thoughts. And we don't talk about this stuff, right? Culturally, like, we don't say, like, talk about moms having all these thoughts and being sleep deprived. And I started a therapy in March. And by April 15th, my marriage was over. And I will say it was a very sped up month, right? So I think I went to, I think I was at 3 therapy sessions. And then essentially there was a course of events that happened between April 14th and 15th that we ended up having, my ex-husband and I ended up having kind of one of those movie-like monumental fights before work. Mm-hmm. And essentially that was it.
You called me and I was coming, I was living in Queens at the time and Olivia was living in Huntington or in East Northport, which is about an hour drive from Queens. And I was living with my then just recent fiance. He had just proposed to me 2 weeks prior to that. And I had a dentist appointment and you called me up that morning, April 14th. And you said, my marriage is over. And I said, whoa, 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 whoa. I'm about to get in the car. Let me call you back. And we talked my entire car ride out. And by the time I got to your house an hour later, I said, okay, how are we doing this? How are we getting you out of this? Because the things that you told me in that phone conversation, I think there was a level of honesty that you were finally able to face. Because usually the way it works with you and I is, if you can't face it, you're not going to share it with me, which is why I often compulsively tell you things, because I'm like, I have to be able to face this. And so by the time I got there an hour later, and I just always think that's such a funny transformation. Like, it was literally within, I never thought you'd get divorced. I thought that you guys would be married forever. You were my marriage goals, because I was 23 when you're 22, when you guys got together, and you knew my fiance the whole time. And you guys were kind of, you were my big sister, and he came to your wedding, you know, it was the whole thing. And so that transformation for me, I walked inside and you said, well, you know, we'll see what happens. And by that night, but when he came home, he ultimately
decided it was over.
He was done.
And, you know what? I'm grateful. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that he decided to choose himself. And that, you know, he's happy now.
Yeah.
And I'm happy for him. He deserves happiness. And, you know, I said that to him at the time. The conversation that we had that ultimately ended the marriage was calm. It was beautiful, I will say. It was two people who had grown up together that really knew that this was it, and that we had done an amazing thing by having two children, and he had succeeded, you know, beautifully in his music career during the course of our marriage. And he was an incredible supporter of me going out on my own and starting my agency. And he let me take a huge risk and give up my income teaching and supported us for a while so that I could build the agency. So, you know, many, many beautiful things happened in that marriage, but it was a marriage that was also fraught with a lot of trauma from both of our childhoods and both of our lives.
Not inflicted upon each other, but you carried it in.
We carried it in. We had a lot of, and again, we were young and we didn't know. And, you know, going from meeting online at 24 and then you have a house and kids and jobs and this and that and parents to take care of. And, you know, it's a lot. And I think it like spun our heads in a major way. But, you know, we ultimately decided, you know, to separate. And he decided it was probably best for him to, you know, do his thing. And I think it was a gift that he gave me and he knew that. Yeah. And it was, you know, divorce is an ocean. It is a lot of waves coming and going. So there was times that we, you know, knew that it was the best decision and everything seemed really placid. And then there was times that we both were very, you know, like angry, and that's normal and healthy. Mm-hmm. He ended up staying in the house with us for the next
3 months,
4 months, three months. And then he left in August, and it was a tough time. My mental health took a huge dive. I binged a lot. I used to, we have an amazing, amazing babysitter who is an angel on earth. And she came that whole summer so I could work, and I would go to the library to work. And then I would go to the pizza place next door and binge eat pizza. And I knew it wasn't going to last forever, so I kind of let myself wallow for a while. But that girl was very sad. She was a mm-hmm. very, very sad, very mm-hmm. scared person, and didn't even realize, like, you know, it was like marching. She just had to march ahead, mm-hmm. just had to march mm-hmm. ahead. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so we went through the divorce process during the pandemic, which was in a way a blessing, because we had the option to stay calm on our sides of the country, right. And let our lawyers do stuff. But it was a scary time. It really was, you know, between the pandemic and kind of up this splitting of the atom, right, of your life, and figuring out how to, like, who was I? I wasn't a wife anymore. Mm-hmm. I, you know, needed to kind of turn inward and figure that out. And that's when I started working with Meg O'Neill and did a lot of therapy. I did a lot of psychic medium sessions. And
it was after he left in August that my then fiance and I came right. over, and we.
Right. So he left August 4th of 2019.
Yep.
And you guys came over and we gutted the house of any emotionally charged items.
And added a security system. Yep. We moved mm-hmm. things. We added, I mean, we just sort of
repainted the boys' room. We mm-hmm. tried to lighten up the house. We put artwork up. We never put artwork up. There wasn't a mirror in the house. It was a sad house. It was a house of two people that did not really belong together and were trying very hard.
And both of you did not want to be there in that house, in that neighborhood, in that town.
No.
It was a concession for both of you. And
our souls didn't want to be there. Yeah. No.
You are two people, for better or for worse, that really have very, I'm like this too, very romantic views of yourself. And I think that house and that life and the concessions that you had to make to be with each other were so settling for both of you. And they just, it wasn't going to work. Like, he is a musician and he's great at that. And mm-hmm. he wanted to be on stage and in the fray and everything like that. And
the suburban lifestyle is just
You're not you have your eyes on compounds and a staff and all of these things. So it just wasn't, you walked outside. You guys didn't belong there. Neither of you.
There was no path for me from that house to becoming a Brené Brown.
Who you need to be,
right, you know,
right.
And
apparently there was a path for you, but
we found one.
Yeah,
but staying in the marital residence, and we'll talk about this in Jenny's episode, she had the opposite experience, right. So staying in the marital residence was incredibly difficult. Mm-hmm. And I am really grateful that he and I worked out a situation that I could do that, because my children could stay in the house and they needed it. And we ended up staying there for another 3 years. However, staying in the house that you were hurt in is incredibly difficult to heal. And my nervous system was never calm, mm-hmm. even after he left. And it was very dark to be there, and just jittery and mm-hmm. very lonely and cold. I think back to those nights. It was lonely. I put the kids to bed and it was sad and lonely. And
I didn't like sleeping there. No. It had a weird energy, that house.
It did have a weird energy. And so, when I was thinking about all this stuff, that's really when the idea of Fresh Starts came to me, because I was like, this is so overwhelming. How do people go through this stuff? And I could see the website in my head. I knew exactly what I wanted. Mm-hmm. I knew that I wanted a place that people could go and quickly build a registry of the things that they needed so they mm-hmm. could rebuild their life quickly and in an empowering way, and then have all these people that they could access. Because during the course of my divorce, how many people did I use, right? I had actually, how many divorce lawyers? I think we had a mediator.
You had three different divorce lawyers.
I had four. And four different divorce lawyers. I had a mortgage broker. I ended up having a real estate person, mm-hmm. Therapist, Reiki healer.
Children's therapist. Also, Mahaley did your sleep training with the kids, which was fundamental for you.
Yep. It was life changing for sure. There was a behavioral therapist for the kids. There was an art therapist for the kids. Mm-hmm. There was a regular therapist for the kids, talk therapist.
Yeah.
There was, you know, I'm trying to think, well, you know, I use Meg. So I had a healer, a Reiki healer, a psychic, an astrologer, right? Mm-hmm. So
personal organizer.
I did have a personal organizer. So, you know, as I was thinking through this, I'm like, how do you find all these things? Like, how do you get all these people? So that's really where the impetus for building Fresh Starts took place. And I remember saying it to you, I want to build this thing. And at the time we were, we actually made more money during the pandemic with our other social media agency mm-hmm. than ever. Mm-hmm. So we were really busy and we did not have time to build a new company. Mm-hmm. And also I was homeschooled.
A wedding.
Yeah, and I was homeschooling the kids, right?
You were homeschooling.
So we tabled the idea, but it was in my journal. And we knew that there had to be a better way to do this, mm-hmm. right? There had to be a better solution to picking up the pieces for whatever the fresh start is in your life. And, you know, I'm a big believer in letting the universe guide you, which is really hard to do when you don't trust the universe. And so a lot of the healing that I did was to come back to trust myself so mm-hmm. I could trust the universe. And ultimately it did pan out, right? I decided about a year ago now to sell my house, which was scary. Right.
I don't think you decided that a year ago. I think you decided to sell your house in February and you sold it. You started selling it in March.
I decided it in December. I think I had written in my journal. It was fast. But I had talked to Lauren, who is another psychic. I talked to her a year before that. And she said, you got to get out of that house. That house, she said, is a monument to your trauma. Or to your survival.
Survival is what she said. Survival.
A monument to your survival, which gave me chills. And she said there's so much energy floating around that house. And she was right. Yeah. I sold the house, moved back in with our parents so we could work on fresh starts.
And so you could have a little help with the kids and
and to really honestly come back to some place that I felt safe
mm-hmm.
for what it's worth, you know, and my nervous system could calm down, and it did calm down a mm-hmm. lot. And I figured out that I have ADHD over the last year, and I've been, you know, working on myself and mm-hmm. trying to put my blinders on and really focus on what we're doing and my children. And you know, divorce is so scary. And I haven't even, you know, someday we'll get into the nitty gritty and the granular stuff of everything, but you know,
the timer on for 10 years.
Yeah, it's exactly. But you know, divorce is really scary because it completely upends like everything you thought you knew about your life. Yeah. I mean, I remember that day that we kind of had this, I mean, and I will say it was a movie level, like real like fight.
You're still telling me things that happened in the argument 4 years on that or 3 years on that I didn't know about.
And we were not, I'm not a yeller. I'm not a fighter. Like, and you know, to his credit, he wasn't either. And so this was really this was 10 years of emotions coming out towards each other. And I remember dropping Weston at kindergarten and feeling truly like I was in a Twilight Zone episode. I could not even really understand what was reality, to be honest. And it was really scary. You know, so coming back from that, and I had disassociated a lot of my marriage. I don't remember certain periods of time in my marriage.
Yeah.
I don't remember living certain places in terms of like the day to day, what we did. And you know, it makes sense because there was stuff going on that I needed to disassociate from. And so when you can get yourself to a safe place post-divorce, post-breakup, and finally start the healing process, it is like shifting timelines. Like, it's truly like you are finding out who you were in a way you never thought that you could. So I guess, you know, the marriage, it fizzled for a while and then it exploded. And then, you know,
you know, it reminds me of, like, they say that a woman, and not that you, I'm not putting this on your marriage, but that a woman in an abusive marriage or abusive relationship tries to leave, I think, 7 times before they actually do.
Yeah.
And it also, like, you cannot leave until you leave. I don't, like, you cannot leave. And we can get into this on my episode, but, like, the day I left my relationship, I could not have left 1 day earlier. Like, it was over the day it was over.
Yep.
And how do you know when to leave? Like, you talk to people, you look around, you make sure that you're safe. Like, these are the things that
there's no way to go backwards, right? There's no way to go backwards. And I remember, you know, there were certain things that conspired the day before we had this big fight. And I was up all night crying. And it was like the universe just, like, put it in me and was like, you got to just go through this time. And, you know, when I kind of got up the next morning and we had this big fight and he went to work and I took care of the kids and I went to Target because that's where all suburban moms go when their marriage is over. And
if you're going to Target and crying, that's
walking
how you
around
know.
Target. And I called my parents, and both my parents, you know, said, you guys got to go to an emergency therapy session.
Right.
And so I called all these therapists and we were texting a little bit during the day, you know, him and I trying to figure this out. And we ultimately did go to one therapy session, really, which was to kind of just say the marriage is over. And
which was funny because by the time when you made that appointment, it was let's fix this. And by the time you got to that appointment, which was just a couple days later, it was like, okay, how do we end this? I also think it's an interesting note that, like you said, our maternal grandparents were divorced. Mm-hmm. Our paternal grandparents are divorced. Mm-hmm. Our parents are divorced. Our dad was with a woman for a number of years and had our little sister with her, and they're not together anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we have a lot of divorce in the family. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the rhetorical things you hear a lot is, well, people who come from broken families don't take marriage that seriously. And I think this goes to show you that that's complete bullshit, because everybody in the family was ready to pull for you guys and was ready to say, no, we're your community. We witnessed your marriage. We stood by you and we will support you to stay together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, because I think
not everybody in our atmosphere said that. Like our family did, and other people did.
And so my point is, so I think divorce is, you know, this gets back to my point about, like, that TikTok I made about glamorizing divorce. I think when you go through it, you know how heart-wrenching it is.
Mm-hmm.
And in any capacity, as a child, a parent.
Yeah, you don't. Right,
and so you're like, if we can do anything to avoid this, let's do anything to avoid it. And I think that that's when, if you can look at your side of the street and go, I've tried everything. I've gone to therapy. I've made myself better. I've raised my vibrations. Mm-hmm. And this is still failing. This is still not working. That's when you know.
Nobody chooses to sit under a tree on a beautiful spring day and tell their 3-year-old and their 2-year-old and 5-year-old that mommy and daddy are getting separated. I mean,
it's never going to be cool. That's never going to be
truly never something I thought I would ever have to do in my life ever.
Right.
I thought I was locked down and good to go. And I was going to, you know, die a happy wife and
grow old with this man, really.
Right. That was really my intention. And I do believe that was his too. I just think that people change over time and people, you know, I also think that having children brings up a lot of childhood trauma from people, and it really does change who you are on, like, a cellular level.
Yeah.
When you see your children get to a certain age and go through certain things. And if you don't seek help, like, all parents should be in therapy, truly, you know, before you start having kids, during having kids, you know, all of it, because it really messes with your mind, messes with your mindset. And if you truly can't support the person that you are with in their joy, then that's not going to work long term.
No,
it just won't.
No, we're in a constant process of becoming, and becoming who we are, becoming inquisitive, becoming joyful. And that is kind of my only measure of life. And if you can't support your partner in their, like, you know, pursuit of joy, I just don't know why you would want to be with that person either way.
No, and we're so much culturally, like, cultural narrative is hang on, right? Hang on, work on
it. We can get to that in my episode. But here's,
you know, I have to say, like, you know, snarky love is not love. It's not love.
And that was like a bad Lady Gaga song, Snarky
it's,
Love.
I mean, it's, you know, snarky love is not love. Love shouldn't make you question yourself. Love shouldn't make you have a stomach ache in the morning.
No.
You know, it shouldn't. And
that's
you
not
know,
love, no.
It's not love. And, you know, control isn't love. And so, you know, I think that it's important that if you are in a situation that love should be joyful. And yeah, like there are certain things that you're going to have disagreements on, but you shouldn't be afraid to say no in a marriage. Mm-mm. You shouldn't be afraid to speak up. You know, there shouldn't be a time that you are nervous to talk to your partner really about anything. You know, with the understanding that like you could be judged or shamed for what you're saying.
I mean, I think, like there's people, you have anxiety, but then you do it anyway, because you know that like, you can also recognize that like my anxiety is because of me, not because of them. Right.
Right.
And then you bring it up to them and then they say, oh my God, why would you be scared to bring this up to me? But we all know what it's like to have anxiety. Hopefully we don't all know, but you and I both know what it's like to have anxiety, to mention something to your partner and to have them, you know, look at you and be like, why would you, I don't want to talk about that.
Yeah.
Or make fun of you or whatever it is, you know?
Yeah. So, you know, that happened and it was my fresh start and it led to fresh starts. And, you know, I have to trust that that was exactly what was supposed to happen.
100%.
And he is happy and he is with somebody that he very much loves and I'm so happy for them.
Yeah.
And, you know, life ended up the way that it was supposed to end up. And I have my beautiful sons and I have my career and I have, you know, this whole world in front of me. And I have a path and that was part of my path, right? That was part of it. And I had to go through that in order to be where I am now. And so, you know, divorce may be heart-wrenching and scary, but it's also part of your journey and it's a blip and you get through it and, you know, that's your fresh start. And then you move on to another fresh start. So
constant process of becoming, I mean, the fresh starts never end.
Never. Well, I hope that answered a lot of questions kind of about my marriage. And if you are somebody that is questioning what's going on in your marriage, you can always head to freshstartsregistry.com. We have divorce coaches, therapists, and everybody that you need to support you through your journey. And you can always find us on social media too, because we're always there to support you, because we are big believers that every single second of the day is a fresh start. We're good to go.
I think so. I think I have all my questions answered about
I'm glad
your divorce.
Thank you for listening to today's story. We are always here and we are so proud of you. Until next time, Braveheart.
A Fresh Story is brought to you by Fresh Starts Registry, the first and only platform for everything you need to start again. You can read the show notes and learn more about today's episode on freshstartsregistry.com/podcast.